Good evening, everyone. Glad to see you tonight. Take your Bibles, and we will be going to the book of Galatians, the other verses. Many of them I have printed out here, but we'll let you turn there before we begin reading for our study tonight. If you don't think that our nation was founded on biblical principles, just go visit Boston and you'll find out. It certainly was. All right? Glad to be back with you after a short family vacation. Joshua wanted to go to Boston for his graduation gift from Mom and Dad, so that's what we did. We took Maria along with us, and we all had an enjoyable time for the most part. All right. All right, you should be in Galatians chapter 3. We'll look at it in a few minutes, but let me start with prayer here tonight again. The amazing work of grace. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we come to you tonight through your Son, Jesus Christ. We thank you so much that you've promised to hear us. We pray that any of our men have bitterness in their heart toward their wife in any degree, that that would be removed by your grace tonight, because it will hinder our prayers, you said. We don't want any hindrance of our prayers, dear Lord. Any unforgiving spirit will hinder our prayers. We don't want any hindrance of prayers, dear Lord. We want to participate in that privilege of being before your throne. You call it a throne of grace. And you told us to come to it with boldness, not being afraid to enter the holy place, but coming boldly because the Holy One, Jesus, has paid the price for our sin and opened the door for all to come in. I thank you, Lord Jesus, for who you are. We pray that you would master our hearts and not the world, the flesh, or the devil. And we yield ourselves to your Spirit that you might teach us the ways of God tonight. In Jesus' name, all God's people say, amen. Well, we get saved and then God wants us to grow. He just doesn't want us to be stagnant. He wants us to grow in that grace. Follow along, if you will, on our papers. I printed this out for you. The amazing work of grace. Growth is a normal expression of life. Whether we think of plants, animals, or people, we expect them to grow until they reach maturity. Growth is also a normal expression of the Christian life. The New Testament writers assume that believers will grow spiritually and constantly urge us to pursue it. Constantly urging us to pursue growth into the likeness of Christ. This isn't on our papers, but what are the two goals? Does anybody remember the two goals that God has for every person? The first goal is that all men might be saved. It's the will of God that none should perish, but that all should come to repentance, 2 Peter 3:9. That's the will of God. Everyone doesn't do the will of God. And then what is the second thing that God's will is for all people? And the answer is, John Mark, were you going to give an answer? Grow into his likeness, which is also expressed, be conformed to his image. Be transformed into the likeness of Christ. All those are the same thing. So God's will for all people, number one, to be saved from their sins. And number two, to be conformed to his image or to be transformed into the likeness of his Son. That's God's will for everyone. In 2 Peter 3:18, the command is given, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. It is true. It is so. No, it is so. It is true. May it be in my life too. Remember that? So I try to put little things there for me to remember, and I still get them mixed up. So that's amen. When you see amen. It is so, it is true, may it be in my life too. May I live as though that is true, because it is the truth. Here's a way in which we grow in that grace, Ephesians 4:15. But speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. In distinction from the physical realm, where things can reach their maturity and begin to die, believers should never stop growing spiritually. This is God's will, continual growth. On several occasions, Paul commended the believers at Thessalonica for seeking to please God and love others, yet in both instances urged them to continue to do so more and more. If you're satisfied in your pursuit of Christ to some degree and you started backing away from it, that's not what we're talking about. Nothing so irritating to our spirit is to think that we have arrived at some spiritual plateau and there's no more room for growth. Have you ever met anybody like that? Of course. And folks, there's a lot of room for growth in every one of us, including the guy speaking. Don't say amen too resoundingly. This is not a Trump rally. Everyone remain quiet, please. No. But that's the truth. We're talking about a perfect likeness to Jesus Christ. And so this is the goal. 1 Thessalonians 4:1 and verses 9 and 10, where Paul encourages those believers to do so more and more. He says, furthermore, then, we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as ye have received of us how ye ought to walk and to please God, so ye would abound more and more. Then in verse 9, but as touching brotherly love, we need not that I write unto you, for ye yourselves are taught of God to love one another. And indeed ye do it toward all the brethren which are in Macedonia. But we beseech you, brethren, that ye increase more and more. And this is particularly talking about loving the people that are in your own local church to begin with. We want to reach the world, that's true, but we want to love the person in the pew beside us. Before we can grow in grace, we need to understand what it is. And we're going to attempt to define that. Feel free to come up with your own definitions as long as they're biblically correct, okay? Grace is God's favor offered through Christ to people who deserve to be cursed for their sins. And everybody say, wow. Let me read that one again. We're going to look at Galatians 3:10 and Galatians 3:13. But grace is God's favor offered through Christ to people who deserve to be cursed for their sins. If we weren't cursed due to our sins, we don't need a cross. And Jesus died on the cross to deliver us from our rightful curse because of our sins. Look at Galatians 3:10. Isn't Galatians a wonderful book? Well, it's a wonderful book, but boy, it starts off with the sword just cutting right down the middle. If you're trying to add the legality of things to be saved, the sword just cuts that right off. And it's by grace through faith alone that will save us, not by our own works of righteousness. But here in Galatians 3:10, for as many as are of the works of the law are under the what? You would think you'd say the blessing of God. But no, you're under the curse. Why? Because we haven't kept the law, that's why. For it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. And you can look at Deuteronomy 27:26, Jeremiah 11:3, and you'll come to the conclusion you haven't obeyed the law. Verse 11, but that no man is justified, which means a legal term, declared righteous. Let me explain that to you, is what he's saying, but that no man. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident. Search the word, search the evidence. For, what's the Bible say? The just, or the righteous, the one declared righteous, shall live by what? Faith. So it's got to be faith. Faith in the work of Jesus Christ will save you from your sins. That's wonderful. And then back on our papers here, I printed this one out, but just a sentence before we get to it. Christ bore our sins and earned our blessing at the same time and place. Where was it? On the cross. Now we'll let you participate in this tonight because we have a few visitors here tonight and no one is saying a word. It's so quiet in here. I'm about to fall asleep. It's okay. You know, Vacation Bible School is coming up with all this decoration, so it's going to get loud in here, so might as well be loud for a good thing, right? I want you to read the last three words after just a short pause when I read this sentence. Follow along. You'll know what the last three words are. Christ bore our sins and earned our blessing at the same time and place on the cross. And that needs to be written in your heart. It needs to be so solidified in your heart and mind. There's no wiggle room, no self-dependence, no agonizing theologically over your salvation. It's Christ and Christ alone, faith in His work. Every now and then, somebody will say, "Pastor, been having a rough couple of weeks or something." I said, "Yeah. I'm just wondering if I prayed that prayer right." I said, "What prayer?" "When I asked Jesus to save me, I'm just wondering if I got the words right." I said, "Well, did you ask Jesus to save you? Do you believe that He is your salvation?" "Yes." "Well, then you're saved. That's salvation." Did I get the exact words right stuff? "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." The thief on the cross said, "Lord," and Jesus said to him, "Today thou shalt be with me in paradise." God knows our heart. So we may not have all the words lined up correctly, but we are depending on the living word, Jesus Christ, to be our salvation. And that's the thing. So on the cross, the Lord did earn our blessing and pay our sin debt all at the same time. 2 Corinthians 5:21. Now I put in the literal here for understanding. For He, that's referring to God the Father. We're reading 2 Corinthians 5:21. For He, God the Father, hath made Him, that's God the Son, to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that's God the Son again, He never sinned, that we, the ones placing our faith in Him, might be made the righteousness of God in Him. So that's how it works. That's wonderful. So grace is God's favor toward us through Christ, but God's favor is much more than simply a favorable disposition toward us. God's grace is always presented in His Word as God's action toward us for our good. The Lord is good. Tell it wherever you go. Let's look at these then quickly. If we can go to Ephesians. Ephesians is the next book from Galatians, so just turn to the right. God's grace, we're looking at grace, it saves from sin. Not your work, it's the work of the Lord. That's grace. Grace saves from sin. Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast or brag about it. If we were in heaven bragging about our own works that got us there, it wouldn't be heaven anymore. Amen? Now go to Ephesians 1, 6. You should have it open there on across the page. Grace satisfies God to accept us. It satisfies God to accept us. Ephesians 1, 6. To the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted, and that means fully accepted, And this is substantival. In the beloved, it's not talking about in the family of God. That's talking about Christ. The beloved one here is Jesus Christ. That's where we're accepted by God. Go to 2 Timothy chapter 2. And you know all those T's run together. Everybody remember that? Thessalonians, Timothy, and then Titus, right? So this helps you find it real fast, right? 2 Timothy 2:1. Grace strengthens us spiritually. Anybody here need the Lord's strength tonight? Everybody here needs the Lord's strength tonight. I know I need the Lord's strength. I know I need it sometimes more than others. Anybody like that? There are some times when I know, really know I need it. And then sometimes I just feel like I'm coasting a little bit and I got it all figured out and I'm not going to pray about this because that's just a no-brainer. Boy, that's not good. Pray about everything. Worry about zero. Nothing. That just happens to us naturally, no? But we need to be praying through things. And one of the prayers is, Lord, strengthen me. Look at 2 Timothy 2 and verse 1. This is what grace will do. Thou therefore, my son, be strong. Where? In the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Now, what is grace right here? It's a sphere. Everybody say that with me. It is a sphere. I don't even know what word you're saying. I'm saying sphere. How do you spell it? S-P-H-E-R-E. Is that correct, Morgan? Thumbs up. It's a sphere. Okay, darkness is a sphere. You got it now? Light is a sphere. Grace is a sphere. You've got to be, it's in that. Now look, read the verse again with that thought in mind. Thou therefore, my son, 2 Timothy 2:1, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. That's where you get strength from. In that sphere. Walk into it and take some. And usually walk in and take it by prayer. It's by dependence. The grace is there, but you have to take it. And how about this one? Grace sustains us in our deepest trials. Nobody here has gone through what Paul went through, yet he remained faithful. Isn't that a wonderful example? But the Lord went through greater than him and remained faithful to the Father and did not sin. I'm thankful for that. Go to 2 Corinthians 12 then. Let's look at this one. We're talking about the amazing work of grace. It saves us from sin. It satisfies God to accept us. It strengthens us spiritually, and it sustains us in our deepest trials. 2 Corinthians 12:10. One of the greatest trials is when God says no about something. I'm like, why would you say no to that, God? It's a good thing. Sometimes God says no to even the good stuff for his own purposes. And this is where we have to choose to trust him. Grace sustains us in our deepest trials. 2 Corinthians 12:9. Remember what the situation was? Paul was asking the Lord to remove something from him. How many times, Kevin, was it? Kevin said three times. How many think he's right? That's correct. He prayed and asked the Lord three times, would you remove this from me? Would you remove this from me? Lord, you know I love you. Would you remove this from this? I'm sure he threw all the stuff in there. Do whatever you'd like me to. Okay? No. He gave him an answer three times. What were the answers? No. 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 And then he said, you know, no use praying about this anymore because my mind's made up. But I tell you what I will do. I'll give you grace. Now that's the glory of God. Look at 2 Corinthians 12:9. He said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee. Sufficient means it is adequate to meet whatever the need is. It equals, it surpasses it actually. But it is sufficient to take care of whatever your need is. That's grace. And here's how it operates. For your strength. How many know I just told a lie right there? Huh? What's it say? Jesus is saying, for my strength is made perfect in what? In, it's actually your weakness. The weakness is ours. The strength is Christ. And by grace, we can take it. Thank the Lord for that. So grace sustains us in our deepest trials. I could ask you, I could go through and say, tell me what your deepest trial is. I can tell you what mine is right now. And so can you. You know what the deepest trial of your life is. And God's right there with his grace to help you. If you'll take it, we've got to take the grace. I find I've got to take the grace all the time. How many of you know the devil doesn't want to leave you alone? Anybody? But the Lord said if you pray and resist the devil will get tired of that praising God business and he'll leave at least for a while. Amen. So I thank the Lord for that. Grace also, not only does it save, it satisfies, it strengthens, it sustains us. But in Romans 12:6, it shows we have a spiritual gift. That's interesting. Go to Romans 12:6. Grace will show us that we have a spiritual gift. And what do you usually do with a gift? You're supposed to use it. That's coming next. Just in case you didn't know why you got the gift. Romans 12:6. For we, being many, that's individual members within the body, are one body in Christ. There's that sphere again, in Christ. There's another sphere, it's out of Christ. These are people who are in the sphere of Christ. They have believed upon Christ. These are saved people. So we, being many, are one body in Christ, and everyone members one of another. And then look at verse 6. Having then gifts differing according to the what? The grace that is given to us. And then he goes on and talks about preaching the word and a proportion of faith, ministry, servant, speaking, whatever they might be, helps, administration, on and on. Everybody, when you get saved, you get a gift. You have a spiritual gift that God has given you that he wants you to use to help build up the whole body. So when you come to church, see how you can come to build it. That changes stuff. This little church went to market is what does this church have to offer me mentality. It's a terrible way to think. The church is what can I do to build the place with what God's given me. That's ministry. Okay. And then in 1 Corinthians 15:10, let's look at that. Are you still with me, everybody? Okay. This long theological discussion about grace is not starting to wear on your nerves, is it? Okay, that's good. You know, the Bible does say when you study the Bible, it can be wearing on your nerves, by the way. It's called work. Studying the Bible is called work. How many of you had your mind wander from the time we started this study? I did. And I'm speaking. So I'm just telling you, it's work to stay attuned to God. So, and this is why I print stuff out so I can go back to where I lost myself, you know. All right. So grace will save us from sins. Grace satisfies God. Grace strengthens us spiritually. Grace will sustain us in our deepest trials. Grace will show us we have a spiritual gift. And the last point, it sets us apart. Grace sets us apart to love and to serve others with zeal. What is zeal? Zeal is passion. Be zealous. Have passion for good works cause you saved. You know you're saved and you want to serve God in some way. In fact, you have to. You got to let it out. If a guy falls in love with a young lady, he doesn't have to be coached. He'll find a way to express it. You might give him some guidance, but he's going to communicate it some way or another. Love letters, calls, text messages, you know, whatever it might be. He's going to get the news out some way. Well, 1 Corinthians 15:10 then. Here is probably, as I've mentioned before, the greatest human being apart from Jesus Christ, by the way, after he was saved, not Christ, Paul, who was Saul. He wasn't too pleasant before he was saved, amen? Yeah. Murderer, blasphemer. He drugged people before the magistrate. Remember that message on the praying for the government through the book of Titus? And I said, I've failed the Lord so many times in this area. I'm just tired of myself. Spend more time praying for leadership and government, et cetera, et cetera. Anybody can complain about anything, right? It's easy. I'm a better quarterback than Tom Brady because I see what he should have done on... Yeah, come on, yeah. Well, boy, if I was in the place of that guy, you know, Pittsburgh wouldn't have lost that game. I saw the whole thing. It's easy. Well, down on the field, not so easy. And that's a game, but we're talking about real life here. What does grace do? It sets us apart to love and serve others with zeal. And look what Paul says here in 1 Corinthians 15:10. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. I think that's probably the most humble statement in all of the Bible. I think that'll be our most humbling statement. If we're anything like Jesus Christ, and we all have a long way to go, it'll be by God's grace. And you know, we are going to get there, Philippians 1:6. But I just want to be shortening the gap in that likeness to Christ. Let's go on. He says, but by the grace of God I am what I am, 1 Corinthians 15:10. And notice the operation of grace. And his grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain. God didn't waste his time giving me grace. Well, what did you do with it? But I labored more abundantly than they all. And that has to be a true statement. Oh, that sounds like pride. Not when God wrote it through him. I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, notice, but the grace of God which was with me, operating in me, caused me to labor more abundantly than anyone else who ever followed Christ. That's what he means. By the way, God's the one saying that. And then let's go on our last page here. Having reviewed all these truths, I think we can biblically agree that God's grace is God's favor toward us through Christ to save us from sin, strengthen us spiritually, sustain us in trial, set us apart with a zeal to serve and love others and to glorify God. Can we say amen to that tonight, folks? All God's people say amen. Thank you, everyone. The grace of God, we need it. It's available. We have to take it.